are all familiar with Jacob's story, especially his actions, his character. Nowadays, when you talk about Jacob, the first thing that usually comes to our mind is his deceitful character, isn't it? He deceived. Why? Why we know him as a deceived guy? He deceived his brother Esau by offering a simple bowl of lentils to trade for his paternal blessings by right. He also deceived his father with the assistance of his mother, Rebecca, when he sought the birthright blessings for himself. Indeed, unfortunately, he did enough to earn that reputation. He was a terrible man. Because of these constant deceptions, he ended up creating deep animosity between himself and Esau, to the point of having to flee from his home with the help of his mother to Padan Aram, specifically to Laban, who was Rebekah's brother, in a distant land he had never visited before. Actually, it proved to be a wise decision to flee from his home. Otherwise, his life would have been in a serious dangerous moment. During his trip to his uncle's land, Jacob found himself at a point on his journey where he had just been strongly impacted by God. His vision of the ladder, remember that passage in the Bible? His vision of the ladder and the column at the Bethel, Genesis 28, had profoundly affected his relationship with God. Despite making a lifelong commitment to God after that vision, Jacob remained a fugitive, fleeing for his life due to the deceit he committed against his brother Esau. Being a fugitive wasn't something to be proud of, especially in a time when family ties held immense value, a true treasure one could keep. Being a fugitive would be a disgrace to any family, especially on that time. Jacob was about to experience a crucial and unexpected turning point in his life story. That is what we are going to explore this morning. From fleeing to settling. Why I say fleeing, from fleeing to settling? From fleeing, he had to flee for his life because of the consequences of his wrong decisions. As Jacob neared his uncle's land, which was his final destination, he encountered some shepherds by a well and inquired about his uncle Laban. The Bible says he was overjoyed to learn that his uncle's uncle was in a good health. And he was especially delighted to hear that Laban's daughter, Rachel, was approaching with his father's flock as she was also a shepherdess. Jacob's mind must have been filled with memories that recount the story of his grandfather Abraham sending a servant to find a wife for his son Isaac, who became Jacob's father in their family's land. You can find this story in Genesis 24.
Just as a reminder, Rebecca, Jacob's mother, was also found by Abraham's servant at the edge of a well. This story now was being repeated in Jacob's life. Surely he heard many stories about the work of God in his parents' life. Now, Jacob was there, hopeful that the beautiful Rachel would be the woman God had chosen for him. As a result, we see Jacob's diligent action compared to the shepherds he encountered around the well. Based on his own experience shepherding his flock, Jacob was shocked to see those shepherds wasting time by not giving water to their sheep in a time of green pastures. Some speculate he did this only to make a good impression to the beautiful Rachel. Probably. But the point is, Jacob's character never allowed him to stay calm when he saw something that needed to be done. It's no wonder that later Laban's flocks would increase in terms of number under Jacob's care. Anyway, one thing I would like to bring to your attention is that probably through his entire life, Jacob never planned to go to his uncle's place. But despite his character, the consequence of his decision led him there, even if it was based on his bad decisions. Despite his character, God was about to turn the bad into good in Jacob's life. We have learned some valuable lessons so far. Let's recount it. Even when you don't understand all the events in our lives, we must keep in mind that our story is being written by God. Even if you don't understand all the events. Second, God always has our stories under his sovereign control, including our mistakes with their sad consequences. Sometimes God allows us to face difficulties that we bring upon ourselves to reveal to us who we really are. This is not about making us go through hard time just for God's sake. No. As I said, it's about showing us who we truly are and what our character is like. A good example of this is found in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where Joseph tells his brother that even though they had harmed him so much, God had a purpose in everything despite the enormous suffering their brothers brought upon him. Remember that verse? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I'm not saying that God created the evil, but they allow that some difficulties come to us, especially those difficulties that we we ourselves create upon us to show us who we really are and how dependent of Him we need to be. Even if we don't understand it, the events we call evil are still under God's control. Again, God did not create the evil plot that Jacob and Rebekah devised against his brother Esau and his father Isaac. Again, I want to emphasize this. God did not create it, but God turned that evil into good so that his eternal plan in Jacob's life could be accomplished. Despite so many twists and turns, the situation created by Jacob, he ended up exactly where God wanted him to be. This is also what could happen to us. Sometimes we flee from what God is clearly showing us what to do. Sometimes what not to do. Where to go and where not to go, and what to say and sometimes to not to say, to shut up the mouth. But the point is, when we flee or attempt to flee from God's purpose in our lives, the only thing that we bring upon ourselves is suffering. This is the first lesson this morning. God will accomplish His will in our lives despite all the suffering that we may experience based in our choices. But I said, from fleeing to settling. Jacob was fleeing because of situation that he created against himself when he deceived his brother and his father. And he was fleeing to protect his own life. But what he didn't know, that he was going to the place where God planned to him to be. And now we come to the second last part. Now he's going to settle down. Even though he didn't know the real plan, the great, the grand plan of God in his life. Now he's settling as a consequence of his good decision. He was fleeing based on his sad decision or wrong decision. Now he's settling based on his good decision. When Jacob arrived in Padan Aram, he was overwhelmed with emotion upon meeting Rachel for the first time. Just give me a second. This story is one of love at first sight. There is nothing more romantic than this. Love at the first sight. I understand the meaning of love at first sight. Let me share this with you. When I was 17 years old, I visited a congregation located 300 miles from my hometown. Upon arriving and stepping inside the church, the first thing that caught my attention was unforgettable. A beautiful smile in a gorgeous girl's face. I saw that smile. That smile saw me. It was a love at first sight. I ended up marrying that beautiful girl. That gorgeous smile on her face has been remarkable over these last 41 years together. And it still lights up my everyday morning. Yes, love at first sight happens, just like it did for Jacob. Motivated by initial feelings for that young lady, he wanted to make a good first impression on Rachel. After all, each person has only one opportunity to make a good first impression. Is that true? It's why called first impression. There is no second opportunity. Especially because a first impression is often what truly matters for many people. Frustrated by the inaction of the shepherds around the well, Jacob removed the cover of the well to water Laban's flock. Allow me this. Here's a typical action observed in Jacob, very common among men. They love to display their strength, to impress their wives, their girlfriends, and even friends. Look at me. But of course, that doesn't apply to any man here at the Redeemer. Of course not. It's just Jacob and other men. Well, after all, through that demonstration, Jacob was eager to walk with Rachel to Laban's house because of the joy and pleasure she brought into Jacob's life. With no doubt, this is one of the greatest love stories found in the Bible. Jacob had no idea that walking with Rachel would lead him to stay in that land for more than 20 years, with all the consequences of his decisions, plots, and deceit over those years. After meeting his uncle Laban, Jacob was offered a job to stay. And Laban allowed him to choose how he wanted to be paid for his work on the land. In love and seeing a good opportunity to marry Rachel, Jacob asked for her hand in marriage as his wages. Laban considered the proposal and soon accepted Jacob's offer, with Jacob agreeing to work for him for 7 years in exchange for Rachel. Well, virtuous love brings its own reward. Nothing is exhausting. This is expression of love. Nothing is exhausting when the one we love is with us. And nothing is too difficult when it's done to cultivate love. Jacob, like a patient love person, worked and waited patiently for 7 years so he could be with the woman who stole his heart. Because Jacob was falling in love with Rachel, those 7 years passed as a blink of an eye, as we can see in Genesis 29, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Jacob loved Rachel. And that was worth an effort. After all, Rachel's beauty was complemented by her hard-working nature.
Beautiful story. Isn't that true? However, Jacob's story doesn't end here. Laban ended up revealing his deceptive character, a trait that ran in the family. After all, Laban, along with his sister Rebecca and her son Jacob, shared the same bloodline. At the end of those 7 years of labor, Laban deceived Jacob by giving him Leah instead of Rachel. But due to his love for Rachel, Jacob committed to another 7 years period of service. During this time, Jacob prospered significantly at the expense of his uncle, particularly in the episode involving the black, white, and spotted sheep. You know the story. When the sheep was to give birth, he was in there. Remember, we threw those sticks, and all the spotted sheep started to born. And then Laban came and changed the command. No. Now the spots are mine, the black and white is yours, are yours. And then he went there. was a deceived person facing another deceived person, and at the end, everyone was deceiving each other. And because of the nature character of Jacob, he never had peace in his home. In the course of his everyday family life, he found himself in a constant battle between his two wives, the sisters. As they fought for fertility and the birth of children. You know the story. When they could not have more children, they brought their servant to Jacob to have more children. But at the end, Jacob ended up having 12 sons who later became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's life was full of bad decision and deception. But Jacob came to the point where he finally made a good decision. He stopped fleeing and settled down, having and raising children, teaching them about his family stories and about God's teaching. Even though he probably had no idea about what's going to happen from that point on, he was being prepared by God to be the root of Israel and one of its patriarch. All those events in Jacob's life happened so that God's will could be fulfilled, accomplishing the blessing pronounced by his father according to Genesis 28. Remember, he stole the blessings that was supposed to be done by Esau's head. He stole that. He deceived his son and even his father. But at the end, that blessing accomplished in his life. As we can see in Genesis 28, verse 3 and 4, as we read this, Isaac blessing Jacob, God Almighty bless you and make you faithful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojourners that God gave to Abraham. Remember, that blessing wasn't supposed to be given to Jacob. But as I said many times this morning, at the end, God's will be accomplished. Brothers and sisters, just as Jacob's life, our stories are merely small parts of the grand narrative that God continues to write for his own glory. While God's will is always accomplished in the end, the way it unfolds greatly depends on our choices. His will be done, but the way, how, depends on our choices. We can either choose the easier path of seeking God's daily guidance in everything we plan to do, or the more painful route of ignoring his direction and following our own will. The choice is ours, but ultimately, we will end up where God wants us to be. The only way to clearly hear God's voice is and discerning his will and teachings is by stopping to flee from wherever we are avoiding, settling down quietly and patiently, and staying firm until everything becomes clear, much like Habakkuk did in a moment of uncertainty. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what God will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. That is the best way to understand God's will in your lives and not live in a painful way. Stop fleeing. If you are, stop fleeing for what you are avoiding and start to hear God's voice. Let's pray. God, thank you for your endless love and care for every detail in our lives. Thank you for being unchanging, God, even when we sometimes try to flee from your will instead of try to find rest in you. As your children, we need your guidance to understand your lessons through all events in our lives. Please, God, lead us, guide us, and teach us in the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.